sisters. Happy Friday. This is Jessie Natame, and welcome to the Weave and Wonder podcast, the place to be to hear all things parenting and self-love for ourselves, along with lots of reminders about how we are rocking this mom thing even on the hard days, especially then. I'm a parent counselor and teacher and love supporting moms with young children and creating more ease and delight in the everyday. The topic for today is the number one parenting practice that transforms parenting. It's a big one. So excited to share that with you today because it's made a big difference in my family life, and I know it will be for you too. And at the end, we're going to have a self-love moment, light a little candle for you and me, and I'm going to share a practice that we can do during those times where waiting in line at the grocery store or the school pickup line, we're feeling a little bored and anxious with all the things we need to do, how to connect back with ourselves and feel a bit more at ease. So that's at the end. How are you? How's your parenting week going? Has it been full of fun moments and giggles and moments that you hold in your heart? Maybe there's a lot of ease and flow to the day that feels so good, or during moments of the day. Have there been some tricky or frustrating moments in there too? Because yeah, I'm raising my hand. I have those too. I have frustrating moments where things aren't going so well. I think that's a normal part of parenting. And have you had any moments with a lot of tension, or you're feeling upset and your kids are feeling upset and we're feeling hard on ourselves? And yeah, my hand's raised again. I have those moments too. And I want to normalize the hard days because we all have days like that. It doesn't mean we're doing everything wrong or making all these mistakes as parents. It's normal, and if we stick together, we can talk about how to bring that flow and that ease and that parenting life that you envisioned more presently in your life and with less of the tough moments, because that can happen. And it's happened for me, and I love sharing the practices that I've learned. It's brought more connection to my family life and more understanding of my children and of myself. That was the bonus. See, my kids are upstairs. They're having their quiet time right now. We started doing quiet time last year when both kids stopped napping. I wasn't sure what to do. I didn't know if, I almost pulled my hair out the first few weeks because I could not take my nap or read my book. It just felt like I needed a little break in the day. So now the kids go up for 40 minutes. We started with 20 and now we're up to 40. They go upstairs with their blocks and their books and art supplies, and I set the timer and I keep it light. I just say, you know, this is quiet time. If you can keep quiet voices, I'm downstairs reading, and I often bring a snack up there too for them, like some apples or some popcorn. And then the first week was a little tough because it was new, but I kept with it. Now they're up there. They enjoy themselves up there. That's the best part. They love their quiet time, and I love it too. I'm reading a book right now that I'm loving. I usually take a little nap. Everyone's happy, and then I'm refreshed after that. I'm refreshed for the second part of the day. So I'm not sure if that's something you have started or something you want to start, but yes, so good. So let's get to our topic today. What is the number one parenting tool that transforms parenting? Any guesses? Let's do a little drum roll. It's waiting. Yes, waiting, which sounds so humble and small, but waiting is the big one. It's the thing that can really transform parenting from the small moments, like a diaper change or when maybe our kids are getting dressed, and the big moments, like when we need some more guidance on how to respond to a sibling dispute or something that we're not sure how much help is needed for our child. So We are waiting before we're reacting. We're waiting before we're fixing, or we're checking in with ourselves, before we're scooping up a child or a baby, picking them up. And when we're in that doing, doing, doing mode, which I know I can get in because things need to get done, we can take some time to wait and to observe, and how that can lead us to understanding and discovering more about our children, also allowing more opportunities for problem solving, because we want in our children, we want them to develop this grit. We want them to understand themselves, right? We want them to feel capable. We want them to have that spirit of try, try again, but do that intrinsically, to be intrinsically motivated. We want them to have boundaries for themselves. So I'm going to talk about waiting during caregiving times too. And that's all the foundational part to this is the waiting part, which I think so often gets missed when we're parenting because we feel like we constantly have to do for things to get done. So how do we do waiting? How can we do waiting in caregiving? And how can that help our children? Well, when we are waiting, we're allowing our children to become more active participants in their own caregiving. And we can also connect with them in a really meaningful way because we are understanding them better. So if we're doing a diaper change, let's say, maybe we notice our baby has a poopy diaper. So we notice that. And we also see that in where we're observing, oh, well, also our baby is really into playing with the blocks, or they're really focused on this particular toy, a doll, let's say. So maybe we'll say to our baby, oh, I noticed you have poop in your diaper. I'd like to change it. Maybe they scrunch their nose or they're so focused on the toy that we could say to them, and if we have time for this, in making time for this, oh, I see you're busy with this toy. Okay, well, I'll let you play for a few more minutes and then I'll be back to change your diaper. And what can that offer for them? Well, it's showing them respect for their own unique interests starting at a young age. We don't have to wait till they're in elementary school. We're giving them more time for independent play, which is something we all want our children to learn how to do. I have not noticed a rash from waiting on a pee diaper or a poop diaper, waiting just a few minutes. I see there's also, if I can wait, there's more cooperation while I do the diaper change. So maybe they're grumbling or they're a little upset once I come back and I say, okay, now it's time to change your diaper. Yeah, it's time. Maybe they're upset, but I do notice if I allow some time to wait, I'm talking about not an extra hour. I'm saying like, I don't know, maybe a couple minutes, 5 minutes, maybe even 10 minutes, that our children are more likely to cooperate during a diaper change or during bath time, any of those caregiving moments, which brings that ease back into it again. We're allowing them time to wait and finish what they're doing. And they're also in turn just happier to be with us, to be part of caregiving again. So before we pick them up, we can tell them, I'm going to pick you up now. We can hold out our hands to give them a cue. And then we wait and wait for their cue. You know, we're mutually connecting with each other and looking at each other and figuring out what each other wants. So if we're waiting for a cue, maybe they are laying on their backs and they pick their head up. Well, that is a cue from our baby then. Maybe there's no response, but at least we've given some time for our baby to process. I'm going to pick you up now. So we wait for just a moment for that readiness. And then, okay, I'm going to pick you up. And wow, already there's maybe more cooperation. And our baby starts to really have a trust in us that we're not going to scoop them up out of nowhere, that we respect what they're doing. And yeah, there are some times we're really in a hurry. Sometimes I'm really running late. Actually, a lot of times I am. And those times happen. Okay, I'm sorry, I can't wait. I have to pick you up right away. But at least we're communicating with them. Maybe we wait for just a moment and then we pick them up. Wow, what a difference in cooperation and just overall respect for our child's bodies and our children as people. So how is that sounding? So that's an example of waiting during caregiving. And you can put this in your own world where you can wait during caregiving to give that readiness and that respect for them as a person that needs some extra help with caregiving, whether that's washing hands or waiting to put a jacket on if they're learning how to put on their own clothes. And I give some other examples for babies I'll start with. If our baby is laying on their back and we're placing toys all around them and maybe they're reaching for a toy, they're reaching and reaching and we're noticing, we're watching. And I know, like many of us, we have that urge just to hand them the toy. We don't want our children to be frustrated or have these struggles because it pulls on our heartstrings. We just want to make it easy for them. But if we want to build confidence and have our child feel capable, then maybe we could wait and watch. And it might take a little bit more frustration and more time. But our baby is reaching for a toy. Maybe this could help our baby learn how to roll over. Maybe this helps our baby learn some problem solving. My daughter Lena, when I would wait while she was trying to reach for a toy, I would acknowledge, yeah, you're reaching. I see that. And I would wait. And then she was on a blanket, would pull the blanket so that the toy would move closer. Wow, talk about problem solving. If I noticed my baby was really struggling with something, and this could be a toddler too, when they're doing a puzzle or they're doing some kind of toy for the first few times, then maybe we do make it a little bit easier, but we do less than is needed. So maybe we just move the toy a little closer to our baby. Maybe if we're waiting and watching our toddler with a puzzle piece and they're not quite fitting it in and they're growing in frustration, but we know that jumping in, helping them, here, let me show you. Yes, I mean, that's one way of going about it. But is that building confidence in our children that they're capable of figuring it out on their own eventually? Is that helping our children become problem solvers or having trust in themselves? I don't think so. So by waiting, being present, acknowledging the frustration, oh yeah, that puzzle piece isn't quite fitting, I see, and you're looking frustrated and you look upset. Okay. And then we wait a moment. Maybe they figure it out. And you know what? Maybe they don't right then. And maybe we can be okay with that. Because I think we can be okay with that. Maybe the next day or the next week, our toddler picks up that puzzle piece again. And they have figured out maybe a little bit more on their own how to problem solve it. And we're nearby. So we're sending this message. I think you're capable of doing this. And if you have any trouble, I'm still here. I'm still here if you need me. So we're not just throwing them into the world and saying, you know, good luck, kid, you know, be resilient, gotta build some grit. No, we're attuned to them. We're waiting, we're watching, we're present. And we have an inner knowing that they're capable too eventually, and that happens at their own timetable. So that's what Magda Gerber called selective intervention. And Magda Gerber is the founder of the training that I'm part of for respectful parenting. And she felt like by watching and waiting that we can selectively intervene as we see fit. And that we'll have this knowing the more we observe, the better we get at it. That's the good news. So when our children are in a dispute, we don't need to intervene right away. We're there to make sure everyone's safe, but we can wonder what will happen. And, you know, there's a lot of possibilities when we wait, and sometimes surprising, hilarious, just, oh my gosh, it feels so good to be a mom type moments. That was so neat. Wow, I never thought that they were capable of doing that type moments. And it's just really, gosh, gives me chills thinking about all the times throughout parenting where I thought, wow, I am so glad I waited. I didn't think that they would do it in that way. And they figured that out. And there are times when I've intervened too much and I learned, okay, they might have been capable of figuring that one out. That might have been my fear right there. You know, when our children fall down and we're rushing to scoop them up right away, you know, that's my fear. I'm afraid. But when I'm walking with momentum towards them when they've fallen, I'm bending down, I'm connecting with them. I saw you fall. I saw you got hurt. Yeah, you tripped on that rock. Are you okay? And then they're crying and not feeling the need to scoop them up right away, waiting just a moment for them to collect themselves and for them to feel what their body has just experienced. And of course, we're there if they need any hugs or if they need any more support. There's a study done with pigeons, and pigeons that run into windows and run into walls, they have been found to actually go through that flight or fight, that trauma that they went through in their bodies. They needed time to sort it out, to process what happened. So they had well-meaning people come up and overly soothe the bird, pick up the bird right away, pet its wings, and talk to it and cuddle it. And it was too sudden for the bird. The bird was still stunned and in that fight or flight mode. But when the bird was comforted in a way where the person was right next to the bird, the person was curiously looking at the bird, talking to the bird in a soothing way, and then even watching the bird go through this process of understanding what happened, the faster the bird recovered and the faster the bird flew away. So that's what we can do with our children, is offer that waiting for them, but being present and being close to them and connected. And we're not saying, oh, it's okay, it's okay. That doesn't build resilience, telling them that they're okay. That's dismissive. And I know it comes from a well-meaning place. And I still sometimes say it because I still want my children to know that they're okay. But knowing that, that can be dismissive of their experience. And really the best thing we can do is wait close by, right next to them even. Yeah, I saw that, and acknowledge and see what happens. Do they get up right away? Are they still on the ground stunned? Well, maybe it is serious. Maybe there should be some more intervention, but we'll have that knowing, won't we? So how is this sounding? When is there times when you feel like, oh yeah, I'm waiting. You know, it's been really helpful when it comes to putting on clothes or trying to be more patient, not to overly intervene or doing toy struggles. I know all of these can be tricky, and to not feel guilt if we don't get it quite right. I'm still working out the kinks and I'm 6 years in. So let me know how you're doing. But the more we do it, yes, so good. There's a great children's book. It's called I Can Do It Myself. It's by Stephen Krensky. And my kids love that book. My 6-year-old can now read it. It's so cute. And then my 3-year-old still loves hearing it, because we all love knowing that children are capable, they're competent, they're, oh my gosh, so confident when they are able to do things for themselves. But we've got to give the opportunity, and that can come from waiting. Well, I'm thinking about my 3-year-old. He was in preschool and he has his own backpack now, which is, yeah, adorable, his little dinosaur backpack. And the first few days, I kind of was just anxious, I think. So I was helping him put on his bag. And our teacher, who is so wonderful, reminded me that, you know, I'm allowing some time and waiting for the kids to put on their own backpack. And it might take a while, like it might take 5 minutes. But what a great reminder for me that this is an opportunity for learning, that by just assuming, oh, he needs his backpack put on by me, is taking away that opportunity for him to learn and build confidence that he can put on his own backpack. I'd love to hear what's going on for you, and where are you waiting, and where do we feel like we need more patience with waiting? Because I could definitely learn from you too on some of these. So Before we have our self-love moment, I'd love for you to rate this podcast or send this along to a kindred spirit friend who you think would enjoy this podcast. And I would love if you passed it along through a text message, if you shared it on Instagram or Facebook. Of course, rating it all helps get this podcast going. It's a new podcast, so let's get some momentum going on these practices that can help so many parents just feel more confident in their parenting and all that delight that can come in the day much more often. We're all deserving of it. So let's switch things up and have our self-care moment. I have a candle here. It's for you and me, honoring us as parents. And it's a Trader Joe's vanilla pumpkin candle. Have you guys seen that? Give me all the pumpkin stuff. And I am a happy camper. So we've lit our candle and I'm going to take a little sip of my tea. So let's take a deep breath because that was a lot of information. And I do have blogs that support this. I have a free toolkit. It's a mini series you get from subscribing. So if you subscribe, you get 3 different emails on how things like waiting can help with our children's confidence in independent play and also help us as parents and how to respond. So check that out. It's on weaveinwonder.com. I get the most emails about that it's the most transformative series that they've received from me so far. So I've kept it going. I haven't changed a thing. I would love to hear your feedback on that too. Weaveinwonder.com and by subscribing. So when you and I are waiting in line or at the grocery store or at the school pickup line and we're feeling a little anxious with our to-do list and our kids are maybe whining next to us, or we're just waiting in line to pick up our kids and it's taking a while, what can we do? And I know it can feel like we need to be checking our emails and our Facebook and our Instagram. And yeah, I still do that. But what's something we can do that connects us back with ourselves and that feels good for us? So I wanted to share with you a practice that I've been finding so beautiful and has really shaped the way that I wait. I still check Instagram because I love that. But I like to check in with myself first. And I usually, when I'm waiting there, thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to buy more celery for my celery juice. I've got to wash Lena's ballerina leotard. And there's so much to do. And here I am waiting. I take a deep breath. Okay. Hey, I need to connect with myself here. I'm feeling really flustered. So we check in with ourselves. You know, how am I doing? This is what we can say. How are you doing? How is the weather in your heart? Has it been a frustrating day? Are we feeling anxious? Well, acknowledge that. It's real. It's okay to validate that. We don't need to flip the script. We don't need to bypass. We can acknowledge it. And then take a deep breath and go a little bit deeper. Do something meaningful for ourselves. And I love following Ram Dass. He's a clinical psychologist and spiritual teacher and scholar. Anything he writes, basically, I'm like a moth to the flame. I love it because it helps me understand my own feelings a bit more, that they're normal and that I can feel those feelings. And also I can become more present and connect with myself and soothe myself too. It doesn't have to always be so hard. So when we connect with ourselves and after we've checked in, we can put our hands and our hearts and take a deep breath. And he teaches a mantra practice that can help with this too. He suggests repeating, I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. And sometimes that's all I do. I go from my busy thoughts and my busy mind and I focus on my heart. I put my hand on my high heart. I take a deep breath. I'm loving awareness. I'm loving awareness. I am loving awareness. And that's something that you can do too. And it takes just a moment. And then in moments we're feeling more centered, you're feeling like everything's going to be okay. just a little bit more collected. If you wanted to dive even deeper, you can add more. You can say to yourself or think to yourself, I breathe in love, I breathe out love. I breathe in love, I breathe out love. It doesn't have to be said out loud. You don't have to say it when you're in the middle of the crazy Trader Joe's grocery line. It can be done in your head for just a moment. No one has to know but you. Because Ram Dass teaches that when we accept ourselves and love ourselves, then we can give that love back. And we can give it in the most authentic, genuine, meaningful way. And it doesn't come from a place of a conditional kind of love or a fearful love. It comes from a heart-centered, respectful kind of love for ourselves and for our children. And it starts with us. It starts with you and me. So those little practices we can do throughout the day, it seems little, like the waiting, but wow, it can transform us. It can transform our days. I am loving awareness. You are loving awareness. All of that makes a difference. So I'd love to know if that's speaking to you, if that supports you. I hope it does. And I'm thinking of you and sending you a warm hug from my heart to yours, knowing you're doing awesome. I think you're a special, beautiful unicorn that is just rocking this. And I think we should all give ourselves much more credit than we do. I'm here to support you if you need any more help with this. You can go to weaveandwonder.com. I offer virtual coaching sessions. I also offer workshops and classes in this podcast. I'm here for you each Friday. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you on Friday. Bye.